The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, inspiring Bible teacher and author Beth Moore.
Because Christ brings glad news. Blessed are we. I want you to know today, you're blessed. You're blessed because you're hearing glad news today. Blessed are we because Christ brings us glad news.
Stay tuned and discover God's kingdom purpose for you.
It's always a joy to share this time with you, and we really do thank you for the privilege and opportunity. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to present a series that she and I joined Beth Moore in sharing on the subject, God's Kingdom in You, Living in His Presence in the Present. And I think you're going to find that this teaching on recognizing God's kingdom presence and power, it's as real, as present as the oxygen we breathe, as important and even more so than the gravity that keeps us on planet Earth. For Betty, this is the impact of God's presence available, the weight of His character, His person on us, to leave the imprint of who He is not only in us but through us, and His impact and imprint on planet Earth. And this, once you become aware of this, it revolutionizes everything in the thought processes of life. Well, Beth is teaching on the kingdom. This is a part of the series that we actually did together. And then she came and sort of put the period on everything by taking the Beatitudes and showing us what His attitude is like in us. So here's Beth Moore. Enjoy.
Father, I bless Your name today. I love, Lord, to come before You like this and just lift up those I'm going to get to serve esteem them as better than myself, Lord. And I thank You, God, that You don't need to remember all of my past sins, but You did leave my memory intact to some degree. And I well remember the rock from which I've been honed. I well remember the ditch from which I've been pulled. And I thank You, God. I give You all praise and all glory. All that I have of value, You have given me, God. I have nothing to offer these wonderful people except You, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that You would do something extraordinary right here in our midst. But Father, on the other side of every one of those screens, draw each person in like he or she is all by himself, herself, right before You, receiving the deep, compassionate ministry of Your gospel. Let it be so. Bind everything that is my flesh and loose Your Spirit, God. We pray, Lord, You do a deep work in us, a lasting work. Cause us to think through the mighty power of the merciful gospel of Jesus Christ. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Would you turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them with you? If you don't, I'm going to read it to you anyway, if you're going about your day getting ready for work and just trying to listen in. But if you can grab a Bible, do. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, the 5th chapter. We've been talking about the kingdom. And so we're going to lock in on some words about the gospel of the kingdom of the living Christ. And I pray it would speak something fresh into our lives. Matthew 5, I want to read the very familiar words to many of you, verses 1 through 12, and then we're going to look in the broader context of what Christ had at work in their midst. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. That's how rabbis taught. Instead of standing like this, they would sit down and their students would gather around them. And that's exactly what happened on the side of that hill. And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. We are blessed. Blessed. Some words need a couple of syllables to them, like blessed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody says blessed. This segment of scripture is telling us that we are a people who are blessed, and what blessing can look like in the midst of turmoil and suffering. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, especially this particular part, is one of the most famous portions in all of Scripture, and one that philosophers of the world and world religions turn to over and over again. But one of the things I want to draw to your attention is that if we take Christ out of the Sermon on the Mount, nothing is left. And no matter how Gandhi or any other world philosopher or leader of a world religion goes back to the truths in the Sermon on the Mount, and they are truths for living, truths for a call to mercy and a call of comfort, but they are preached out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no way to understand blessing without understanding the one who blesses. That the blessing is coming from one in particular, one in particular. I found out that this portion of Scripture has over 36 different interpretations. So I'm going to tell you, I'm certainly not going to be the scholar to come and tell you that this is going to be the end all. But I am going to show you something that only began to occur to me as I took the lens off of the specific Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, blessed are you, when I drew it back and looked in the context that comes right before it. I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 4. I want to read you verses 23 through 25. And then we'll see it open the way for the message of the Sermon on the Mount through what we call the Beatitudes. It says this, Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom. Everybody say it's good news. Look at one another and say, it's good news. We got good news to tell. You don't have to worry today or you're going to get some bad news from this particular program, because we got you some good news. But you want to need to see the context that it's in. Good news of the kingdom and healing every disease. There it goes again. The preaching of the good news of the kingdom and healing of every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Now, here is where I want you to think very visually. I hope so much, and I probably told you this before, I'm hoping when we get to heaven, we're going to see the real-life visual Bible. In other words, like, there'll be DVDs from all of eternity and throughout time, and we'll get to see all of this play over again. But I want you, as I read this portion to you, picture what these people might have looked like, smelled like, and been like. So remember that as I read this to you. It says, news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. So I don't know the last time you were in a hospital that was packed in the emergency room and you looked around, but picture something like that, a mass of humanity with all sorts of diseases. Those suffering severe pain, what would someone act like that was suffering severe pain? Because right now, I want you to stick that kind of person in that kind of physical pain into this situation, because we cannot understand what he is about to say unless we understand where he's been. So every kind of illness you can imagine, some suffering severe pain, so get that grimace, that agony, those cries, the demon-possessed. What would demon-possessed people act like? Would you try to play that all into this picture? Because this is the ministry that he's doing. So we got people ill, we've got people in tremendous pain, and now we've got people tormented by demon possession. Those having seizures, would you please put them into the mix? So are you getting this picture here of these crowds around him? So now we have people crying out in agony. We have those tormented by evil spirits. We have those with physical illnesses. And now alongside that, we've got those who are having seizures. And then alongside all of those, we've got the paralyzed. And he took them, and it says in very end of verse 24, he healed them. In verse 25, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him, then bridged straight into chapter 5. You got to understand that when we first got our Bibles all these centuries ago, they didn't have the verses and the chapters all worked in. So I want you to see it in continuity. It goes from that very, very picture to now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and then he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Why in this context? After all those suffering physical illnesses, after the demon possessed, those having seizures, those in tremendous pain, the paralytics all gathered around him, can you imagine what was going on in the minds of the disciples? I want you to think with me for just a moment. These were a people that had been raised to believe in much of their philosophy that these kinds of people that had gathered around Christ were not blessed. They were cursed. They were cursed. Sit here for just a second and let me remind you of some words in John chapter 9. John 9, you can jot that down, and I'm going to read it to you really quickly. John 9, verses 1 through 3. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, listen, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus answered them, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Somebody needs to amen that. Because the disciples, with their upbringing and their philosophy of life and their philosophy of blessing, it meant that people who were doing well had done well with their righteousness. And people that were blessed were those who were not sick, those who were not in grave need, those who were not in grave danger. The blessed were those that had it together, and these that surrounded them all over these regions in various states of torment and deep suffering, they would have been, in their thinking, the cursed. And suddenly Jesus says over them, these are the ones who are blessed. It says he preached the good news. I love a little portion here that I found in one of the commentaries. It says that this word that is for good news here, euangelos is the Greek word for it, good news, euangelos. You would be able to see evangelism in the Greek word. But according to one commentator, a tighter translation of good news is glad news. Glad news. And I don't know if that speaks differently to you, but good and glad mean two different things to me. One is a fact. It is good news. That's a fact. Everybody say that's a fact. It's good news. But glad news means now I've got an emotion with the fact. I got a feeling now. And I wonder, wouldn't it be something if we got glad about the good news? What would happen then if it really occurred to us all the way to the marrow of our bones what Christ Jesus has done for us and set aside for us? That it's not just good news. Oh, it's good news, all right, but I am glad about it. I'm glad about it. As Psalm 126 says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. I want to just pitch out a couple of points to you about our call to blessing. And the first one is this: blessed are we because Christ brings glad news. Blessed are we. I want you to know today, you're blessed. You're blessed because you're hearing glad news today. Blessed are we because Christ brings us glad news. I want you to look back over that mass pandemonium there, and I want you to picture it with me in this context as we see all of these crowded around him. And a thought came to me some months ago with my granddaughter, Annabeth, that drew me back to these passages and made me have some kind of perhaps a little thought about what might have been happening with the disciples. The reason why he might have taken them up on the side of the hill. Maybe he knew exactly what, well, we know he knew what they were thinking. But maybe he knew that they needed this message more than anybody as they were surrounded by this terrifying sight in this mass of tormented humanity. And I'll never forget when Annabeth got old enough to be turned around in her car seat. Now, many of you moms and parents and grandparents know what I'm talking about, that until a certain amount of pounds, their little car seat has to be in the back seat and it has to face the back seat. So they're steering straight at it. It's facing this way where all they can see is the seat. Well, Jackson, her older brother, could not wait for his seat to turn around. It was the most fun thing that ever happened to him. It was just like a whole new world. Annabeth was completely different. They thought, she's going to be so thrilled. She's going to be able to see mom and dad. She can look at brother good across the seat. She's going to love this. Only when they turned around her seat and put her face forward, I'll never forget it because it just was the most tragic thing. She cried and screamed with her arms waving like this because it was so much world, she could not handle it. And with the oncoming car, she thought they were going to hit her. And so it terrified her, and she pitched out her little arms like someone absolutely horrified by a fresh new sight. I just want to pitch out to you, is it possible? That's what Christ saw in his disciples. That for the very first time, they had left their area, and now they were in the broader, wider world, where there is a tremendous amount of hurt and suffering. And maybe for the first time, their car seats were turned face forward and they saw what real life entailed. And I thought about just the bloody mess of the gospel. That it really is for hurting people just like us. For broken people just like us.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Ooh, let me tell you, if you can get what Jesus meant when he tells the person that feels the least worthy of attention, the lowest, the nothing. You ever feel that way?
Yeah, a few times.
And found out that wasn't what Jesus or God would ever put on you. A lot of times religion will and church will.
That's right.
But when you hear this good news that is proclaimed to the poor in spirit, the downtrodden, the downcast, the person that feels like nobody cares, and you find out just how important you are to Almighty God, and then when you allow His power and presence not only to be revealed to you and in you, but through you to others. It's that river flowing freely. And Betty, the nature of a river, life springs up.
That's right.
And we've experienced that.
Yes, we have.
You know, we wouldn't always understand all that was going on, but we've had the blessing of the kingdom on our lives and on our children and on their children. And we long for it for everyone. And we've come to have a greater understanding. That's why we put together the series, God's Kingdom in You. And I'm telling you what a difference it's going to make. Betty, we are so excited every time we have an emphasis on helping the suffering.
Yes.
And I want you to listen to someone we love very, very much, Tammy Trent. Now, remember this. Her husband drowned not too long after they were married. And she's been a widow. Boy, I'm telling you, she's found Christ, His kingdom presence, reality. And she's got His heart for the suffering. I want you to listen to the heart of God through Tammy as she talks about what happens to precious children every few seconds. And let me tell you something, we can change it all. Watch this.
Africa. What an incredible place. What beautiful people. Their fight for survival. Oh, how they fight for life. But every 6 seconds, a child here is losing that fight. It's not right. Such injustice. Every 6 seconds, malnutrition takes another child here. It seems hopeless. Is it hopeless? Every 6 seconds. God, what are you saying here? What is your heart for this situation? Every 6 seconds. You're bigger than this. I know your arms are long enough. Every 6 seconds. Rescue them. We have to rescue them. What is my part? Another child. We have to stop it. It's not hopeless. It can't be hopeless. But another one. This isn't an incurable disease. It's food. It's so simple. It's food. God, if there's anywhere in the world that your heart runs to, I know this is it. These innocent children. Oh, how you love them. We can do this. I know it's your will. We can do this.
Please, help us turn back the clock.
Ooh, Tammy, listen, Tammy. You lost her husband years ago, just drowned, young couple. Tammy, I see Jesus in you all the time. Thank you. Thank you for putting God's arms around those children. I'd hold every kid I could in the world. God, I mean, I'm just such a mere person. And imagine how God wants to do that. And he can. But he does it through us, Betty.
That's right.
I looked at those little groupings of children. Well, she finally went to one, but there were, you know, I think there may have been, maybe there were 10. But we can feed 10 kids with $100. We can feed 5 for 50 and 3 for 30. I don't know what somebody can do, but it's like, you know, Tammy was talking about the needs. She said, you go get them and we can do something. She looked straight at us. And Betty, we're going to hold as many of them as we can. And you know what God's put on our heart to do? That's why we've gone all over the world to see a need that love could meet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're asking you to do, is just dial the phone number and make the greatest gift you can to give them the greatest gift there is. And that's a chance at life. And we're going to tell them about the love of God, but we're going to show them before we talk it. We're going to demonstrate it. But the missionaries are helpless without us enabling them. I'm praying there wouldn't be a viewer anywhere in the world that wouldn't help us.
Me too, James. And Tammy said it so well. God is big enough. His arms are long enough. And he wants us to be an extension of his love and his heart and his arms to reach around these children and say, here's help. Here's what you need. Will you join with us and let's be a part of that together so that we can make the difference in life and death in these children?
You know, Betty, we just started our mission feeding emphasis, and we'll go for, you know, several days, actually even a few weeks, to try to raise funds to feed 500,000 children that the missionaries have already found in desperate need. And all they need is something in their hands to put in those children to get into their little systems to save their lives and stabilize their families. And a lot of times when we start talking about Betty, it's like people watch for a few days or a week. I wish everybody would start today. I'm not going to wait till the end of something. I want to start something new. I wish we could all respond so much that we call the missionaries and say, go find some more. Kind of like Jesus saying, go find another sheep outside the fold. Go get them. It's my heart. Would you help us do that today? Would you dial the number, take your bank card and use it like a check? If you could help us take care of 10 children, give a $100 gift or more. Take care of 100, give 1,000, or help us take care of 5 or 3 with a gift of 50 or 30. We want to send you the incredible teaching series that about God's kingdom in you, living in his presence in the present, not waiting for then. Now, we're going to have then forever, no enemy, no death, no disease, no sickness. We can have presence now and demonstrate his love now. We want to help you. We want to send you that series. But I'm asking you, you can go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift. But you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Dial the number right now, please, and just say, here's my gift. You can help us. Take 10 of those kids, do it. whatever you can do, hey, it's important to that child or those children. Please don't turn away. Reach out. We really are His hands. Thank you for making that call.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's Mission Feeding Teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
I want to remind you, you have the collectible Father's heart. If there's any way that you could help us literally feed several hundred children, do it. $1,000, we can feed 100 for the next months. Please do what you can. And we are really anxious to send you the Supernatural Skyline, Jim Hilton's book. I'm telling you, it's absolutely fantastic. The CD, DVD series that's available on God's Kingdom in You. What a blessing. It's really going to inspire you to become as God's presence is literally revealed through you. What a difference. Thank you so much for your help. Thanks for your prayers and your friendship.
Tomorrow, Texas Governor Rick Perry.
I couldn't do what I do without people who lift me up in prayer every day.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.